Right. Did you come ready to hear God's word?
Yes.
Amen. May this be a confirmation of what he's already taught you all week as you have been having church before church. Amen. We had a great time last week, didn't we? With Lifeline Ministries here with us. It's a wonderful time together. If you'd like to say hallelujah. I'm excited tonight. They're actually going to join us again for baptisms. We have a total of, 24 right now. And 15 or 16 of those are from our house. Amen. I was told that's the most we've ever baptized in the history of our church and what we've done. So praise God. May there be more, Lord. More. More conversions to Christ and more baptisms for Christ. Amen. Come on. And the baptism in the Holy Ghost as well in this house. Man, he's changing us, right? He's molding us. We don't want no crusty Christians. Amen. Shake off that rust. Amen. God's greasing some Christians in here today. Get you moving. Get you moving again. Amen. God's good. These are exciting times to be alive. You excited to be alive? If you can hear this today, you are not dead. You are alive. And may you be alive in Christ. The month of August is... Our theme here is at First Open Bible is to be alive in Christ. This is our last week of our three-week series, being alive in Christ. So this month, we've been fighting against this thought, Christian atheism. Believing in God, but living a dead life as if he didn't even exist. That's not this church, amen? That's not you. That's not you. You're not a Christian atheist. You're going to live a life that is alive, not dead. Amen? You want to agree with that? Say amen.
Amen.
Say, I'm not dead.
I'm not dead.
I'm alive.
I'm alive.
Yes, you are. So the definition, the very definition of alive simply is this, living, not dead. Thank you. Have a great day. Sometimes it's in the simplicity where you find revelation. That's so simple. But yet for a lot of us, we don't do it. We don't live it. We don't act like it. If you want to be alive, simply don't be dead. I hope you know you're at church this morning, and I'm not talking about your physicalness. Spiritual. Be spiritually alive. What does that look like? It means you're growing. It means you're feeding. It means you are living. You are acting. You are doing. All right, let's start preaching. Amen. Is there any limitations when we're alive in Christ? There isn't. This side of sin, there are no limitations because something lives inside of you. It's resurrection power lives inside of you. We're alive. We are called. We are free. We are the body. And we have authority because we are in Christ. Ephesians 2, verses 4, 5, and 6. If you want to do something this week and study, I want you just to read the book of Ephesians. And if you're like, that's too much, just read Ephesians chapter 2. Let's just start there. Read Ephesians chapter 2. And I want to encourage you this morning as well. A lot of times we get stuck in like, I gotta read the Bible because I gotta follow this Bible plan. If you're just reading a Bible plan to check something off your list, you're not reading like you should be reading. Because you should be meditating on the Word of God. And if you're just checking off something on the list, forget that Bible plan, right? If it's a one-year Bible plan, make it 5 years and dig into the Word of God, right? Cut it in a fifth and just study and study. And what does that mean? Where did that come from? What's the background of this whole situation? Why is he speaking this? Why am I hearing this? What is going on in Bible times right now? What's going on in the city or the realm? What's going on in the kingdoms that are going on at that time? Get into the Word of God. It will come. It'll just become alive to you, right? You know, this book isn't just about history, right? It's about the future. And better yet, it's about your future. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4, 5, and 6 say this: But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. See, it's only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us up from the dead along with Christ, and he seated us. Say, seated us.
Seated us.
Say, seated me.
Seated me.
With him in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. Church, I'm so thankful for the cross. Truly am so thankful for the cross. But let's not stop at the cross. Let's get to the resurrection. I like that our crosses that we wear on our neck don't have Jesus still on that cross, because he's not. And who would want to wear an empty tomb cross or a necklace? That'd be weird, but really that makes more sense anyway. Let's don't just stop at the resurrection either. Let's get to Pentecost. Come on, Pentecostals. Let's get to Pentecost. Literally, Pentecostal, Pentecost, okay. All right. This is what's awesome. Let's not stop at Pentecost. Let's be seated in heavenly places. About to preach this morning, amen? Colossians 3, 1, 2, and 3 says this: Since you have been raised to new life, if you got new life in here today, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Since you have been raised to new life, that's you with Christ. Set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in a place of honor at God's right hand. Think about things of heaven and not things of earth. Your assignment for the rest of your life is this: think of things of heaven and not things of earth. Verse 3, for you died to this life. I love this. And your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Woo! See, a real life in Christ sees the realities of heaven. And that was spoke about this morning. You might be sick, but the reality of heaven is this: by his stripes you are healed. Right? You stand in that faith. Stand in the supernatural. We get so stuck in the natural all the time. We get so stuck in popping pills and going to the doctor before we get on our knees and ask God to heal us.
Yes.
Realities of heaven. Realities of heaven. But the reality of this earth is this: we have broken bodies. We live in a sinful world. And our bodies are going to die one day. But our spirit and our soul will live forever. And then one day we're going to get caught up with that new body. Right? My six-pack new body. It's going to be so good it might have eight-pack. I mean, it's going to be freaky awesome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know if that was prophecy or just goofiness. I'm going to go with goofy. So this morning I'm literally going to tell you what I'm going to preach on. Two things. Number one, our relationship and authority. And number two, our position of authority as the body of Christ. When someone sits at the right hand of a throne, in heaven, yes, but also here on earth, that means that person shares the authority who's ever sitting on that throne. So if there's a seat right next to a throne on the right hand, you share that authority. Amen? Ask Moses. When someone sits at the right hand of that throne, they share the authority. Our authority is seated in heavenly places. I'm going to burn that into you today. You are sitting in a heavenly place. Your mind should be thinking of heavenly things. When we walk into church and we have a consumer mentality, what am I going to get today? I hope the pastor preaches a word that I need today. I hope that the worship isn't bad today, or they're going to sing my favorite song today, or I didn't like this, or I didn't like that. You are thinking of earthly things. Think of heavenly things. Oh man, there's a really bad problem going on in my life, or this person's going through this situation. I don't know how they're going to get through it. You are thinking of earthly things. By God's strength, we're going to get through it. I don't know how, but that's why I got faith. I'm going to look in His Word that He gave me that isn't just about history, but it's about my history and my future, and I'm going to see what happens, because I'm going to think about heavenly things, because I'm already there anyway. I'm in seated in heavenly places. Do you realize when you're seated in a heavenly place, you're above all evil, sin, and death? They're not even present. Is that present in heaven? It's not. Remember, every battle you face with the enemy, we have the authority over the enemy because we are in Christ, and the enemy is a defeated foe. Jesus defeated the works of the devil, and God has positioned us with His authority to defeat the works of the devil also. 1 John 3:8 says, but when people keep on sinning, you realize you don't have to sin anymore, right? You realize that. I don't have to sin anymore. You have the power over that. See, when you accept Jesus into your life, now you have chosen to sin. It's not your nature. It's not the only thing that you know how to do. You now know how to do something different. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy, demolish, tear down, break down the works of the devil. Worldly authority positions you to fight for freedom. But godly authority positions you to fight from freedom. 2 Corinthians 10:3-4 says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they are and they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Demolish means tear down.
Yes.
Right? And walls in here today,
yes,
that need to be reminded of where you sit today, whose authority you're in today. And they need to break down. They need to assume their position. They need to crumble. The Lord is looking for an army, church. God's looking for an army that has the understanding of a divine authority, the army that hears His voice and does His will. So where are weapons usually held? Right? Where's Cliff? There he is. Yeah, weapons are held at Cliff's house. If Russia or China comes and invades our country, run to Cliff's house. You guys get armor and I'll start preaching, okay? Yeah, bring the food. Ladies, anybody good cooks? Yeah. Bring your barbecues, bring some food. He's got the guns, I'll get the preaching. Amen? Set. Yeah, party to the rapture. Hallelujah. Where are weapons usually held? Yes, Cliff's house. But usually, they're locked up in an armory. They're in an armory. But you have to know the one that holds the keys to unlock the armory so you can use those weapons. You don't know where Cliff's house is. You don't know where the weapons are. Better yet, the armory is the Bible. And to unlock the weapons found in the Bible is going to be through your relationship with God. 2 Peter 1:3 says, by His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Praise God. And there, awesome, wrap it up. I mean, that is powerful. God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We've received all of this by coming to know Him. That's our relationship. The one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. See, when the knowledge of God is acted upon, it's going to bring great results. But anyone can memorize Scripture. Even non-believers can memorize Scripture, church. You see it in movies. You hear it. Right? I've seen it in a movie. Truth will set you free. It's like, no, you stole that from the Bible. Right? And everybody's like, oh, that's so profound. Yeah, it was written like thousands of years ago. Copycat. But anyone can memorize and quote Scripture. The most important thing about our authority in Christ is this, that we gain revelation from it. And revelation comes from a relationship. See, information without revelation produces an imitation. You might get great results from the authority of God's word, but you can also disappoint God if you end up doing it for the glory of man and not the glory of God. And the fault is all found in the relationship. Don't cheapen the authority of Christ by trying to get selfish gain. Without revelation, you can also get stagnation. Followers of Christ who know and do the will of the Father out of their love relationship will never be stagnant. You will not stink. You will smell sweet. That's what the Bible says, a sweet aroma. Your life becomes a sweet aroma for God because you're not stagnant for God. Matthew 7, 21, 22, and 23 says this. This is powerful. This hits me. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter it. See, on judgment day, many, church, that will not be you, that will not be me, will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and we cast out demons in your name and we performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, this is Jesus, I never knew you. Get away from me. You break God's laws. John 14:15 answers this. Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commandments. Romans 11 teaches this. It says, God's gifts and his call are without repentance, or they're irrevocable, or they can never be withdrawn, depending what version of the Bible you read. But with those God-given gifts and those callings, you can still lose sight of your first love. I could stand up here and preach to you, and it's possible that I don't love Jesus, but may that never, ever happen. Because God has put a great gift and calling upon many people. It's irrevocable. It's never to be withdrawn. See, you can do amazing things in the name of the Lord, but never know him. Jesus warns us in Matthew 7 that I just read of just a verbal profession of the Lordship without obedience and without following the will of God. The way that you know God's will is that you know him. You got to know him, church. You got to know him. You got to seek him. Find him. If you go after him, it says, if you seek me, you will find me. He will make himself known. Cannot be stagnant. We cannot just read the Bible for reading the Bible. We must know the Father. It's possible a person can have a spectacular life and even a ministry by using the authority of Scriptures, by doing it in the name of Jesus. They can do it without actually walking in a genuine, obedient love relationship with God. That's what the Bible just taught us in Matthew 7. That's why, church, we must remember our words and our actions should always flow out of our love relationship with the Father. Always. Divine authority has been given to all believers. It's a fact. It's now how you can live in Christ. You have divine authority if Jesus is the Lord of your life. But God works best with his children when he knows they can be trusted with the key to his armory. Child of God, that's you today. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You have authority over things of this world. You can walk into situations of darkness. You can see miracles. You can see signs and you can see wonders as you're led by the Spirit of God. But no one is led by the Spirit of God without first hearing the voice of God. Let me say that again. No one is led by the Spirit of God without first hearing the voice of God. Our authentic authority is found in our relationship. 1 John 4:4 says, "But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world." We have victory because of our relationship. Here's a fun fact about the Old Testament. If you're born by natural means, he or she could be disinherited by the father if he chose to do so. But if that child has been adopted, that child could never be disinherited. Never. Ephesians 1:5. God decided in advance to adopt us into his family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. That is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. You have been adopted, children of God. Adopted. So what do adopted children of the king get? Well, they get lots of stuff, right? But one of the best things we get from our Father is this: his authority through our relationship with him. Some of the greatest things we could ever have. Remember what I just said. No one is led by the Spirit of God without first hearing the voice of God. Our authentic authority is found in our relationship. Romans 8:14-17 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God." So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you've received God's Spirit when he adopted you into his own children. Now we call him Abba Father, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we share his glory, we must also share his suffering. It's not about us, church. It's about the King. It's about the King. What a pleasure it is to know such a God, that he would love us enough that he gives us everything and we gave him pretty much nothing. And he says, "Just give me the rest of your life and watch what I do through you. You will be alive and everyone will see you. And they'll look to me because they'll know where you came from and where you're at now because you're alive. And you don't live in your own power. You live in my power and for my glory." We are God's children if we're led by the Spirit of God. And the children of God make up the body of Christ. Romans 12:5. "So in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." You are very important, church. I don't care what you want to say about yourself. God says something better. You are important. You are special. You are called. You're a part of the body. Right? Cut off your baby toe. See how you walk. I don't care what you think about yourself, thinking that you are not very important. You are very important. No matter how small you may think that you are extremely important. Without you, we couldn't even be the body anyway. Because we need everyone, right? So the Bible teaches us. Jesus is the head of the body. Ephesians 1:22 says, "And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church." Ephesians 5, go a couple chapters later in verse 23 says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church and he is the Savior of the body. Thank you for Jesus. We are in Christ and we are called to believe, but we're also called to belong. We are Christ's family and we're members of his body. The head and the body make up the whole person, don't they? Do they? If they didn't, why would God need the church today? Here's a better question. Does God need the church right now? Does God need the church? People switch in their mind. God does need the church because he said he needs the church. He doesn't. I mean, he's all-knowing, all-powerful. He can do whatever he wants. But he chose at the time of grace before his second coming to use the church, to use us, to anoint us. Why would he give us the fruits of the Spirit? Why would he give us the gifts of the Spirit? Why would he give us church? Why would he bring us all together? Because we are supposed to be Jesus to all the people that don't know him. You are called to be alive. You are not called to warm a pew. You are called to get equipped in here to go out and do what God has called you to do. You are special. You are important. You are called by God. You are not called to be crusty. Remember, no crusty Christians, all right? No crusty Christians. He's moving those joints, those spiritual joints right now. He's moving those in your body. He's saying, your feet haven't moved in a while. I'm going to grease them up. Your hands, they haven't touched many people lately. I'm going to grease them up. I'm going to get your body moving and walking. You need to be led by my Spirit. Do you remember what that was like? I'm ready to do it again in your life if you are ready to be willing to do that. If you're ready to be alive, I'm ready to show the world of me and my glory through you. I'm ready. God's ready. He's ready. God loves his church. Loves his church. He loves the body of Christ. If we are in Christ's church, we are the body. And the body follows the head. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, the human body has many parts, but many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:27, a few verses later, says, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. When the body follows the head tells the body where to go, right? You didn't have it. Take off your head, see what happens. Right? Don't really. The head leads, right? What was that movie? It's like, the man might be the head, but the woman's the neck. Tells the head where to go. Oh. And all the married husbands said, that's true. That's true. Hallelujah. See, Jesus is the head and we are the body. And when the head, Jesus, and the body, the church, join together in unity, we are alive. When Jesus raised from the dead, so did his body. When Jesus was rose from the grave, so did his body. I'm preaching better than your amen right now. Do you realize you are alive? When Jesus was rose from the grave, so did the body. Let's live it. Let's live it. Let's live it. When God raised Jesus from the grave, he gave us the ability through Jesus Christ to be alive also. We have resurrection power living on the inside of us. And we have the authority and the power over any evil thing, any ruler, any power, or any leader that is not of God. Ephesians 1, 19 through 22. And I pray also that you understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else. Not only in this world, but also the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ. And he and has made him head over all things. Why? To benefit of the church. Jesus absolutely loves you. Loves you. He gave everything for you. And then he empowered you to do the same to the lost and broken world. Jesus chose to face death on a cross, and he was resurrected. He purchased our choice to serve him and spend eternity with him, but he also purchased our choice to stand in our authority and experience being spiritually alive. His death and resurrection was not just for our eternity. I've said that before, remember? If it was all about accepting Christ, then you'd be raptured. It'd be one by one by one, rapture, 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 right? Remember that? Beat me up, Jesus, right? You know what I mean? If his death and resurrection was just about that, we would all be gone right now. It's also about our authority here on earth. You are a child of the King. And you are seated at the right hand of the Father with Christ. Now, think of things you could be doing right now for the kingdom of God if you truly, truly understand and understood all these things of your authority through your relationship with God. Think of the things that could be happening where you live, where you work, your family, if you truly understood where you stood with God and his authority. You understand? I'm not pointing just at my head. Because a lot of us get in our head and we forget to get in our spirit. And a lot of us get in our spirit and forget to get in our head. They work together, church. They work together. Jesus purchased our authority, and he purchased our freedom, and it's our job to put that to work. We have been positioned for freedom. We have been positioned for authority, and we are positioned to be alive. Say a few more things before we close. If you notice in the New Testament, there's not one time. In the New Testament, not one time that the church is told to pray that God would do something about the devil. In the New Testament, it teaches that the body of believers are to do something about the devil. Think about it. Think of all the stories that you've learned. Think about everything you've read. We as the body have been empowered through Jesus to do what God has called us to do. Devil, you have nothing in my life. I don't even technically live here. I have no idea my zip code. Right? Probably a bunch of sevens, right? God's number seven, okay. Why? Why? Because we have authority. Because we are in Christ. Because we are alive. Those battles and those struggles that are going on right now in our world, in your life, and in this community, it's our job to intervene. You watch news all day. What do you do about it? I'm going to watch somebody else do my job? Ask God what to do. Be led by the Spirit. Say, okay, God, the news has a lot. I can't do this all. I'm one part of the body. But what part am I right now? What are you calling me to do? I'm going to turn that off. I'm going to get on my knees. I'm going to go out. I'm going to do what you call me to do. I'm going to move. See, God did his job. Jesus is resurrected. Woo! He's in a position of authority. And it says that he is intervening for us through prayer right now. And he hasn't stopped since the moment he ascended to heaven. He's praying for you. You don't think you're special today? Not only are you part of the body, but Jesus specifically is praying for you right now. Jesus, on the right hand of the Father, in a position of authority, he's lifting you up in prayer to break all that stuff in your life, to break all the bondage. There is nothing that can hold you down. Son and daughter of the Most High. So, body of Christ, what are we going to do about it? The key to a powerful Christian life is that we are alive in Christ. May we never, never, never forget just how powerful our relationship with God is. Worship team or Brent or somebody can come up, please. Our authority. Because of what Jesus did for us, not only has the power to resurrect our spirits in the inside of us back to life, but it also has the power to change the world around us. I want to make this clear. It's not in your strength. 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 But it is the strength that's in you. But it is the strength in you. But it is the strength in you. It's not your strength, but it is the strength that's in you. Step out of your flesh sometimes. See what happens. Got a job to do. I'm going to read three verses. And we're going to sing. Then we're going to go out and change the world. You ready? You with me? Three verses. Three sections of verses. They're all in Matthew. They all come from a man that we worship. His name is Jesus. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, he said this. Jesus called his 12 disciples together. A disciple is a follower of Christ. And he gave them authority to cast out evil spirits, to heal every kind of disease and illness. And then you look 7 verses later in Matthew 10, 8 says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, cast out demons. By the way, I believe that modern day leprosy now is cancer. That's my belief. Cure those with cancer, cast out demons, give as freely as you have received. If you have been healed by a sickness in your body and you have received that and it's been a grace from God, give it out as freely as you received it. If there's anybody who should be praying for the sick, it's the ones that used to be sick.
Yes.
Woo! Come on. That's for somebody in here. That is a word for you. You have been sick and you have been healed, and there are other people that need to know that. And they need to experience that. It's in your hands. It's in the anointing of your life. How do we defeat the works of the devil? By Jesus and the word of our testimony. Stand in the face of that cancer and say, guess what? I used to have cancer, but I'm cancer free. And I pray that you receive the same as me. Let me pray with you. It says in God's word that lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but my Bible teaches me that if I obey the commandments of Jesus, then he knows that I love him. So I'm going to pray for you right now by laying hands on you, and we're going to pray that God heals you right now. And believe it. If you don't believe God does miracles, he won't do one in your life. God works by faith. How do you please God? By faith. But a lot of times we're like, oh, I don't know if it's going to happen or not. Be in faith. Even if it doesn't happen, pray again. Be like that lady that kept going up to the king over and over and over. God, you haven't healed me yet, but I'm going to get healed. I haven't been healed yet, but okay, go away from me. Be healed. Get what you want. Go away. Right? The only time you should be annoying as a Christian is if you keep going to God and petition. Come on now. Here's the last one, and I hope you see it in a different light based off of God's word today, but I've preached it over and over again because I believe it is the commission of God for our life, because I know it is, because Jesus said it is. Will you stand with me as I read this? It's found in Matthew chapter 28. You are alive in Christ, church. You are the body. And the body goes where the head says to go, right? And the head tells us something this morning that he said thousands of years ago, and it's still valid today because it hasn't been fulfilled yet. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And this is what we're going to do tonight. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely, church, you'll never do it on your own. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Hallelujah. How can I do such thing? Because you never, ever do it in your own power. How do you do such things? Because it's not necessarily you, it's what lives in you. Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave that can do these things. There's miracle working power that lives in you. You can change the world because who's in you? And he wants to work through you. God loves you so much, body. He does. You're all so important. The next time you say something out of your mouth that says that you're not very important, I hope God shuts it up and you be reminded in your heart and in your spirit who you truly are. That's why you hide God's word in your heart. Because at the times that you need, it's going to come right out. Because you're alive. You're alive. You're alive. This church is alive. You're alive. You're part of the body. Jesus is going to do some amazing things in you, with you, through you, all around you. You're going to stand at places, at times that you're going to go, my goodness, I just prayed for somebody to get healed, and they're healed, and you'll be like, you won't want them to see it, but you're like, say what? Hallelujah. See, it's going to encourage your faith as well. I'm excited for the last days. Are you? The last days, they're here. We live in the last days, and in the last days, God's Spirit's going to pour out upon all people. And you can prophesy. What is that? Speak life to the situation. You can prophesy. See, a lot of times we're doing the opposite of prophecy. We're cursing things. Oh, it's never going to get better. Never going to do that. Shut your mouth and read the Word of God. Speak life to it. I think your miracle maybe is right there because it's in your mouth. You just got to correct it. Your miracle's waiting for you to say the truth. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you don't know Him as your Savior, let me tell you, it's the greatest thing you'll ever do. The Bible teaches us that, see, the mouth's so important. Builds up, tears down, but it can speak life. And the Bible teaches us if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, not only that, don't stop there, but He's raised from the dead, you shall be saved. Starts with the prayer. And then forever, ever changed. With every head bowed and eyes closed, if that's you today and you've never accepted Jesus and you're not alive and you're living like you're dead, but you want to be alive in Jesus, if that's you today, will you look up at me and maybe raise your hand so I can see you? I want to agree with you this morning. It's kind of dark in here, so you'll have to raise your hand if I want to see you. If that's you today, say, I want to give my life to Jesus. I didn't see any hands. If that's you today, wave at me. It says all of heaven will rejoice. There is a party going on for you. It says your name will be written in the Lamb's book of life. Never to be blotted out. You will live for Him. You will not die. You'll be seated in a different place than you are today. You'll go home changed, renewed. You'll be refreshed. God will do some amazing things in your life, even today, at this very moment, if that's you today, last call. If you want Jesus in your life and you've never accepted Him, please raise your hand. I see that hand. Is there anyone else? Okay. Pastor Cody, you got one of those? This is for the rest of the church. The rest of the church, listen. You can look at me. Are you ready to live? Are you ready to be alive? Many of you already are alive, but many of you needed a refresher course of who you really are and where you stand and where you're positioned. You are positioned. Put your shoulders back, your head high, and know who you are. The next time something comes to face you, you stand. In Ephesians 6, great book, right? You should read it. Ephesians 6 says, when you don't know what else to do, what do? You stand. Because there goes a point where you stand in your own, and then something happens to you when you don't know what else to do, and then all of a sudden you stand in God's strength. And it's no longer you that's standing there. It's God. Just like we heard the word this morning, He fights every battle. He goes before you. You are already victorious. You're already in Jesus. You already positioned in Christ that you can face every battle, that all things, even if I die, I still will live forever. Nothing will separate me from the love of Jesus. Nothing. I've been washed as white as snow. So church, if you're ready to live, what you need to do right now, I believe, is you need to make a promise to God, however you see fit. I want to encourage you to say it out loud. Something about speaking. God created all things except us from speaking. He formed us with His hands, but then He made us alive with His breath. Today, you're going to be alive by your breath. That's you today, and say, God, I want to live this kind of life, that I want to recognize that I'm seated in heavenly places. I'm tired of thinking of things of this world. God, yeah, I got to deal with my normal stuff. I got to pay my bills and all this and that. But whatever I face, I need to have a heavenly perspective. I need to have an eternal mindset. You must transform me to be alive what you call me to be. I'm tired of living just like everyone else. I should not live like that. I am free, and free indeed. That's you today. I want you just right now for the next 30 seconds, out loud, whisper, say it, whatever. I just want you to make that declaration to God right now. Say, God, I give you my life. I want to be this. I want to do this. Just whatever it is right now. I'm going to stop talking. You just do it. Live like this. Live in my relationship with you, Father. My relationship make me alive. May you lead me. As I do your commandments. God, I want to be holy, for you are holy. You are worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that saved my life. God, I just commit my life to you right now. I want to follow you. I want to do what you call me to do. May it never be in my own strength, God, but may it be your strength. May I step out into the impossible to see your glory lifted high. You are worthy. Worthy. Seal that right now with God. Seal it. How do you seal it? You seal it with a name that's above every name. Seal it with Jesus. Thank you, Father. And as we sing this last song, that one person that accepted Christ, will you come and meet me? And I think Pastor Cody's on his way somewhere. We're going to give you a book and we're going to celebrate. If that's you today, accepted Christ, will you come meet me here? I want to pray with you. You can bring somebody with you if you'd like. We want to celebrate with you today. Come on, church. Hallelujah. What's your name? What is it? Nicole. Nicole, welcome to the family of God. Amen. Amen. You are free. Free indeed. You are alive in Jesus. He loves you. Guess what? If nobody got anything out of this today, this message was for you. It's for you. And all of heaven is rejoicing, and so are we in here today. And the Bible teaches us that if we confess with our mouth and we believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and He's raised from the dead, we shall be saved. So I'm going to ask you to repeat after me after I pray. And I just want you to repeat what I'm saying. And there's something going to happen inside of you, right? I don't know if you're facing sickness, but God's going to heal you. I don't know how He's going to do it. I don't know what He's going to do, but God loves you so much. He's going to heal you. Why do I know that? Because the Bible says that He will. By His stripes, you are healed. We're going to lift you up in prayer. Church, when you think about her tonight, before you lay your head down tonight, you ask for that healing in her body. Whatever she's facing, she knows. God knows. She be set free and healed. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. We thank you. All of heaven, all angels, everybody celebrating. And God, we celebrate in here today. We thank you that this life was once bound for a place of eternal fire, but now she will be placed with you in heavenly places and live forever. that you love her deeply, God. May you heal her right now as we pray. I have hands on her, and I pray that right now, by the hands and by the power and by the blood and by everything that you did, Jesus, by the stripes, may she be healed right now in her body. From the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, all the way out to her hands, may she feel the anointing in the presence of God. May you reverse what the doctors say is irreversible. May you turn those cells around right now to be alive. May the blood flow like it's called to flow. May you purify her body as you are right now purifying her soul. We love you. Will you repeat after me? Jesus, I love you. May you make my heart your home. Forgive me of my sins. You are my Savior, and I will live for you. And I believe that you are the risen Savior. I love you, and I will live for you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Now make that real with him right now. You just talk to him. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. 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 Together, we're going to worship and we're going to go out and change the world. Amen. Amen. Love you.